I just went away and I came back from Calgary, and there, take it.
Thank you.
And there, I went, I saw the gorgeous sights and the Folies on fire. It's unbelievable. The Canadian Rockies, the whole thing. Now, what happened with there as well is I got bought tickets, not realizing what it was. I bought tickets for a stampede. Irrelevant what it was. What it was a bunch of different races. A horse race with a buggy behind it. Okay, I don't know exactly all the rules. I couldn't figure it out. Then there was a guy who has to relay his own race. So he runs around on a horse and jumps onto the next horse. Fascinating. That was pretty fascinating. It was okay. Some skill set, some horse racing, some stuff. Then it got to a couple of objects. So one race, it's a sport in America. We did not know this, is that you're on a horse and you lasso a cow and you got to jump off the cow and hog tie it. Then
Rodeo.
there's rodeo.
You have it.
Yeah, then there's bull riding. So as though this was going on, I was like, wait, I don't know. Let's discuss it. I think about the halacha of tzar b'al chayim. Tzar b'al chayim means causing animal cruelty. And I said, you know what? I'm sitting there. I'll make something good out of this. I'll make a shiur out of it for Tuesday night. And then I said, you know what? Where, trick question for Chaim Golinus. Where is the source? Is there a source in the Torah for that one should not have animal cruelty? Now, first, before we start, do we have a concept of 613 mitzvahs? I will tell you right now. We've discussed this many times. There's a debate what the 613 are. There is a debate if there is 613. We're ignoring that. That's what the veterans say. Let's say there is 613. What are the 613 becomes a question. And the Rambam, the Smag, the Bahad. We're talking about early 1000s, 1100s, 1200s. They're all debating this. What are the 613? Not one. It doesn't happen often. Not one of the 613 counters of the 613 mitzvahs list as one of the mitzvahs a prohibition of cruelty to animals or a positive commandment, be nice to animals. Zero of the counters list Tzar B'al Chayim. None. Now, the Gemara has an open discussion. Bav Metzia, 32, A and B, almost more than a page, discusses and says basically there's an argument in the Mishnah, in the Gemara. It depends how you go through it as you're going through the whole page, you keep going back and forth. Is there a biblical violation called cruelty to animals? Tzar B'al Chayim. Is there a biblical obligation? And the Gemara goes into it. Now, that Gemara is discussing. That's not why we're doing this parsha yet. That Gemara is discussing the laws, two violations, Sefer HaChinuch counts as two mitzvahs, maybe a third, of when you're going down the street and you see someone's animal laden, L-A-D-N-E-N, with a lot of stuff and it's falling apart. You have a mitzvah, an obligation, probably a prohibition, not to look away and to help the guy unload the stuff. And reverse, if a guy needs help loading onto the animal needs a little break. So you have to load things back on. That's pasuk in Devarim, the pasuk in Shmites. You must load the animal back on. So in that Gemara, the Gemara starts discussing, okay, let's go through the details of the law. An obvious law, Rashi says, if the owner of the animal says, oh, by the way, Chabatzka, you got a mitzvah. Unload my stuff for me. I want to take a coffee break. Are you obligated? No. Not open pasuk. Again, machlokes in Gemara, but Gemara, open. You don't have to. Because the pasuk says, when you see a person trying to work on his load, help him out. He has to be trying to work. Now let's take a second back. The Gemara says, what's the reason for this law? If the reason behind the law is cruelty to animals, the animal has 1,000 pounds, can only carry 800. Who cares with the owner? Let's say you're the owner and you're a jerk. You decided on your own sake, which would be crazy, to take your own animal and ruin your own animal, put 1,000 pounds on what it can only carry 800. And you say, well, I don't care. So why am I allowed to walk away? If there's a law of cruelty to animals, who cares if you're involved? Gemara asks, the Rambam writes, doesn't apply to non-Jewish owners of non-Jewish animals. What? Who cares about that? Is a non-Jewish animal less emotional? I don't know what the word is. Cruelty? Is it less emotional? What? The Gemara is discussing. The Gemara says if you have an enemy and a friend, and one needs to be put on, one needs to put off, that's discussing. Who are you doing to it first? Where's it? Who are you doing? Who cares? Take off first, of course, because when the animal is loaded with too much thing, that's a problem with the animal. So right away you see that when it comes to this law of loading and unloading the animal, it's not as simple to say that would be a source for cruelty to animal, because the Gemara debates it at length, and the Gemara is going back and forth. But the Mar Nevuchim, not something we normally quote in this class, only because the Chaim was here, the Mar Nevuchim, which is the guide to the perplexed of the Rambam, which has morality, one of the most confusing svarim. The Rambam, by the way, in the Hakdamah, the guide to the perplexed, says that you are going to find multiple contradictions of what I write here. And in order to understand it, you have to know everything I'm saying and put it in order. He didn't write it in order, it seems like. Very, even the introduction is hard to understand. That's how difficult it is. But the Rambam has a thing there. He says, where do you know of a problem of being cruel to animals? A rodeo, last of a cow. This week's parsha, perfect timing. Here's the basic story. There's a bad guy named Bilam, terrible guy named Bilam. And he's on the road to curse the Jews. And they're on the road to curse the Jews. All of a sudden, this animal starts having a mind of its own. It's crouching. It's leading him. It gets him lame, right? Lames him. Is that a word? Lames is a verb. He lames him. I don't know if that's a word. He lames him. And he starts his, I'm going to call it one time, but it's many times. Bilam is angry. And it says here in verse 25, but it's multiple times. And he's continued, because I got found that one, to strike the animal, hit the animal. Okay, nothing yet. Then Bilam's donkey starts speaking. Then he gets to verse 31, and Hashem uncovers his eyes. And all of a sudden, Bilam sees an angel in front of Hashem standing there. And he bows his head. And the angel says to him, for what reason did you strike your donkey these three times? So the Rambam says, what type of question is that? And by the way, he didn't answer. The Rambam doesn't say this, but it's what he means. He didn't answer. Who cares? What, am I allowed to strike an animal? When the angel, the Rambam says, in my Nebuchim, you wonder where the source, and again, I want to make clear, the Rambam has a list of 613, doesn't quote this in the list as a law, of, by the way, don't be cruel to the animals based on this pasuk. But he does say in his Moreh Nebuchim, he says, if you want to know where a source is in the Torah, that you cannot be cruel to your animal, because when the angel told Bilam, why are you hitting your animal? That means there's something wrong with hitting your animal. He's not adding what I'm adding, and others do, that Bilam could have responded. Who cares? I'm even adding in more. Who cares? The animal lamed him. Did he not have a right to hit the animal at that point in time?
Injured him.
Did he not have a right? He could have. It's funny, he didn't say it. Look, that's how strange this whole response. When you start reading the puzzle, you realize, well, what is going on here? Here are the English. The angel of Hashem said to him, what reason did you strike an animal? Behold, I went out to impede. The angel saying, I tried to stop you, for you hastened on the road to oppose me. Angel thought, you were on the road to stop me. The donkey saw me, he's really saying it all, and turned away from me three times. Had it not turned away from me, I would have even killed you and your animal and let it live. Killed you, not your animal. Bilam's response, normal response would be, yeah, I'm sorry. The animal was bad. He ignores the whole thing. Animal hitting animal, who cares? I have sinned. Not why you think he sinned. If I did not know you were standing opposite me. That's not the, what? Is that the sin? I know you have, yeah, sin is, no, you just didn't. The answer is that Bilam recognized right away. Hitting an animal, yeah, that's bad. That's bad. By the way, if I would ask you a general question, we have 613 mitzvahs. How many mitzvahs did the non-Jews have? Seven. Even though seven is not seven, we spoke about in this class, it's seven categories, because idolatry has a lot of them, but okay, seven categories. Bilam is Jewish? No. It was Bilam. Is one of the seven mitzvahs that we have, are we adding on one? Are you going to change everything in your car? All the list of seven.
This is one of the seven.
Oh, why? Well, the first question is one of the seven mitzvahs, B'nai Noyah, that a non-Jew is not allowed to be cruel to his animal? If it is not, then the angel turned to Bilam and said, why did you get your animal? Bilam could have said, listen, you Jews, yeah, you can't be cruel. Us non-Jews, we're allowed to be cruel to animals. It's not.
One of the seven. One of the seven. You need to live off the live animal.
Oh, is that what you're about to say? So now, what we just did now. What you just did. Maybe, let's get slow here because the crowd didn't hear. Maybe the source for not being cruel to animals is the seven laws that says you're not allowed to eat a live limb from an animal. That means if I would say, why can't you eat a live, before this class tonight, I think, if I would ask you, what are the seven laws? Maybe you'd know, maybe you wouldn't know. Depends where you are, you would know, but I'm not saying everyone would. And he said, well, what are the seven laws? I would say, okay, don't steal. Why not? Okay, stealing's bad. Don't kill. Yeah, killing's pretty bad. Don't eat from a live animal. Why is that a big deal? I don't know. Do you think your response would have been, well, it's cruelty to animals? Or you would have said, eating from a live animal makes you a disgusting human being. We've discussed in this class. There's different types of sins, right? There's a sin against God. There's a sin against man. We discussed the original, no one knows, but a sin against yourself. So if I'm a disgusting human being and I eat live cockroaches, not even a high, but I'm saying, as an example, I'm ripping a leg off a chicken to eat it live. Is that because the animal is suffering? Let's say, according to what you're saying, just being a baby now, let's say I ripped the limb off the animal, but I don't eat it. Did I violate one of the seven laws?
Yeah.
No. Well, it depends if you're learning this.
I think so.
Before tonight, you would not have thought so.
Before tonight, I would have thought so.
No.
From Sarbali, from Shemeliskos, I would have thought.
You would have thought that ripping the limb off, even though the standard seven laws is don't eat from a live limb.
So then, I guess not.
Right? What's if Eva Menachai, don't eat Eva Menachai, don't eat it.
Right.
So until tonight, you should have said, if someone rips a limb off an animal, I mean, I would keep them away from kids. I would keep away from microwave ovens, right? Put the frogs in the hot water. But if someone would take the leg off, when he takes the leg off, in the official rule of the seven Noach laws, I would say it didn't violate anything. It's don't eat from it. But if you're going to say like he's saying now, that
Rabbi, to prove your point.
I don't know my point yet, but yes, go.
Wait a minute. When the non-Jews are permitted to castrate animals.
Oh, that is an excellent. The truth is, I have to be honest.
And since you're not eating it, but you're permitted to take the testicles off the live animal.
Excellent. I could probably give, sadly to say, about 15 classes on this mitzvah of Tzav HaLachai. But one of the questions is going to be, Stephen, I'm just moving to the side, but you're right, is if you're going to say that non-Jews, like Bilam, if that's the source, or Eva Menachai, if that's the source, that non-Jews are obligated in the mitzvah, in the prohibition of Tzav HaLachaim, of cruelty to animals, you have opened the door to about 20 other mitzvahs. Stephen gave one of them. The non-Jews, are they allowed to neuter an animal? Jews are not. I have a better one, Stephen. I came up with something yesterday morning. Yesterday morning I was in the airport. This morning, losing track of time, Stephen, tell me if you like this. We believe as Jews, we proudly believe in this, by the way, that the slaughtering, the laws of Shechita are the most proper, least humane, good word, humane way of slaughtering an animal. If you're going to say that non-Jews are obligated in Tzav HaLachaim, if the source is going to be Bilam, if the source be Eved Menachai, if they have, you would be forced to, Eved Menachai means eating the limb from a live animal. If you're going to say that non-Jews are obligated, the reason, they're for sure obligated, not eating a live animal, make that clear. That's one of the seven laws, and not eating from a live animal. If the reason is causing cruelty, which we don't think it is, but if it is, and if Bilam's the source, which means non-Jews be obligated, then potentially you'd have to say, non-Jews, if they want to eat a meat from an animal, maybe shooting it with a gun is faster than slaughtering it the right way. But if they're going to slaughter it, they have to slaughter it the right way also. They have to use our laws of slaughtering because we're the most humane. Or you could say, Stephen, that wait a second. Within the laws of humanity, there's a game to play. That means maybe this, I'm just doing it on camera, this amount of pain is allowed, this amount's not allowed. We are allowed to use animals. We are allowed to slaughter animals for meat. We are allowed to kill animals for their hides. We write a Sefer Torah with it. So we allow a certain amount of, I'm not saying I like the word cruelty, but a certain amount of usefulness from the dead animals that we allow. So maybe you could say, completely again, and say, you know what, a non-Jew is not allowed to torture an animal. And a random example, pull off the legs of a daddy long leg is a random example that I wouldn't suggest on Jewish law. But if they want to slaughter an animal, not in the most humane way, and is this much more pain, maybe they'd be allowed. You'd have to play games. I have a great idea. Maybe. Why do non-Jews, the few percent who want to eat kosher food, why do they want to do it? Simple reason. Because subconsciously, they don't want to be cruel to animals. They want the kosher food because the kosher food is not slaughtered inhumanely. We potentially now have three sources for a non-613, but a reality. As we said, Stephen, in the past, when it comes to the 613, even though we believe in the 613, not everything's in the 613. So, for example, it openly says, you know, you're not allowed to be an angry, disgusting human being, right? But not being an angry person is not one of the 613. You're not going to find it there, by most counties, maybe one or two, not for now. But in most counties, there's something that don't be angry, right? Why? Because it doesn't. Now, don't be angry. If someone gets angry, they're violating, the Gemara says, someone gets angry, it's equal to idolatry. So it's a serious thing. But, okay, so sometimes you have what's called the Bahag, what's called pre-conditions, having good midas. It doesn't say be a nice person in the 613. Why not? Because before the 613, you got to be a nice person. So it's possible to say that the reason it's not listed in the 613 as a number is because it's prerequisite. In order to be a human being, don't be cruel to animals. But anyway, a step later.
Maybe the reason for non-Jews not to be cruel to animals is because the effect it has on the human being.
Oh, so now
not the effect on the animal, but the effect, to be cruel to an animal, even if the animal doesn't feel the pain the same way, it affects the person who's doing it.
I never do because I took a picture today. I am now quoting Stephen from the Sefer HaChinuch. We've mentioned him many, many times. Obviously, the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch writes about each of the 613 mitzvahs, and he writes a little bit of a moral viewpoint on the mitzvah. And when he discusses in mitzvah number 80, mitzvah number 80, he does it in order of the sukkah. We said everyone does a different counting how you do it. The Sefer HaChinuch is based on the parasha, so he goes in the order of sukkah. Let me read you a Sefer HaChinuch, Stephen. Sefer HaChinuch in mitzvah 80. He says like this: when you see someone has an animal overloaded, you are obligated to help the man unload. Help the man. If he stands aside and says, "Too bad, do it yourself," you're not obligated. You're obligated. Now he says in the Sefer HaChinuch, anonymously in the 1300s, the Sefer HaChinuch always writes with the theme, the moral aspect behind the mitzvah. And he's talking now, I think this is the way to read this. He's talking now in English beforehand that when the animal is overloaded, help the man remove the stuff from the animal. Then he says like this, Mishrashei HaMitzvah, Shairish, the root of the mitzvah. Does he say, what's the reason to unload the animal? Closely, it's all pronouns, hard to know now. L'lamed nafshem, to teach ourselves, the midas hachemlo, like you said, to have compassion. Shehimidim u'shebechet, that's a beautiful thing to have. The ain sarach loyma, I don't have to add on, shechoyim aleinu, we're obligated lachma ish on the person, hametzar begufa, that's in pain himself, certainly there. Elafilu, even hametzar b'beidus amonai, even if someone's upset he's losing money, mitzvah on us to be compassion and to save him. That's what he says. I'm going to say it again because I want you to pay attention. In my opinion, there's going to be a massive debate here with someone said before. Stephen said, Stephen, pay attention. We've discussed this many times because it's a classic Menachas Chinuch. Classic Menachas Chinuch. Is the mitzvah against the human or is the mitzvah against God? There's a whole list of questions. It's not as simple as it sounds. There's about 25 mitzvahs that are not clear. Now, let's say this mitzvah again. My obligation is when he is overloading his donkey, I have to help him unload the donkey. There's two ways to understand this. Is it that I have to unload the donkey because the donkey's in pain, or unload his donkey because he's watching his donkey fall apart, he's in pain? Now, if it's about the animal and I decide I'm not helping out this guy, I don't like his beard, I'm not helping him out at all, no way. Then comes Yom Kippur, feel bad, I should have helped him out. Am I asking him a chila? No, I didn't do anything to him. I'm asking his animal a chila because I'm out. So if I didn't help out the guy, do I go to the animal? No, I go to God and I clap al-khayr on Yom Kippur. But if the reason is because he is upset his animal's collapsing and I decided I'm not doing it, then it comes Yom Kippur, I can't go al-khayr, God save me. No, no, no. Go to him and say, by the way, I was a jerk. I should help the animal. Now let's read the words again. He begins by saying that the laws unload the animal. It's unbelievable. I think he's saying otherwise. The shrusha mitzvah, the root, the root of the mitzvah, to teach ourselves in the midah, the compassion, that it's a great midah. The shebechet, it's a beautiful midah. Teach me compassion. The ain tzarach loymer. Of course, I have to be compassionate to a person who's in physical pain, and even when he's in pain about losing his money. So, according to the way I'm reading this, I saw the people reading it the other way. Which way are you reading it? The donkey's the money, which means what? That means my not unloading the donkey is against you. But you know what that means also?
Not the donkey.
I'm allowed to go to a rodeo. I'm allowed to go watch them cow tie, whatever that thing's called, lasso the hogs. Because there's no mitzvah. Might be not a nice thing to do. But there's no mitzvah in the 613. And the root behind the mitzvah of unloading the animal has nothing to do with that. The reason, potentially, because I get intertwined. But when you start looking around, the idea of Tzar Balachayim is quoted in different sources. Again, how does it get this week's parasha? Get my vacation. The fact is that in this week's parasha, Bilam was asked, why did you hit the animal? So the Rambam in Marina Bukum says, that shows you're not with an animal. I don't know. By the way, I saw it brought down by very good people that if you're going to learn like the Rambam, because the Chazanish writes it also, that you can't be discussing the animals because Bilam was not with the animal, you can say two leniencies. The negative is, non-Jews are obligated. Non-Jews are obligated because Bilam's a non-Jew. The leniency might be two things. Maybe only non-Jews like Bilam. A leader, a prophet, a giant, a genius. Yeah, he can't be cruel to animals. It's a bad form. Bad look. But the average Joe on the streets, he could be mean to animals, maybe more so. Very important to what you did, you were saying before. You did to pay attention to what you were saying before. If the source of the law not to be cruel to animals is because Bilam hit his animal, not because I have to unload the animal. You know what that might mean? I'm only, what's the level of cruelty? Level of cruelty is me actively being cruel. Bilam actively hit his animal. But I'm walking down the street and your animal's overloaded. And I'm like, okay, did I actively do something? Maybe that's not a violation anymore. If the source is Bilam, Bilam did something really bad physically. He picked up his stick and says three times, especially they had a stick on up. We spoke about it a few years ago. And he hit the animal three times. The angel said, oh, what are you hitting the animal for? Rambam says, oh, that's a big source. Don't hit your animal. Okay, don't hit your animal. That's fine. But anything I'm not actively doing, I'm okay about. Watching something happen is fine. You watch a starving animal, you might not violate anything because I didn't actively do something. Or are we going to say, no, now you don't like it a minute ago. That you're going to say the laden animal was overloaded. It doesn't work. And I didn't take it off and I'm still violating something. And I got to clap al-chay to God. That's a much level now. Just for the record, we're running out of time here. We have other places. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal. Now, muzzle I'm actively doing. Why? You could potentially say, the reason not to muzzle an animal is because it's painful for the animal. By the way, it's not so clear. You look through the Rishonim there, early commentators, it's not so clear the reason why you have to muzzle an animal because of that. Not so clear. Okay, we're going to stop here, Stephen, because we got about eight people looking to Dav Maariv here.